Now turn to section 2. Section 2. You will hear a man giving some people information about things to do in a seaside town. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully to the information talk and answer questions 11 to 15.
Hello everyone, it's a lovely morning today and we're apparently going to get lots of sun later. Now here at the Seaview Hotel, we are very close to the beach and given the weather, I thought I'd just let you know what you can do there. If you leave the hotel from the back, take a left and follow the path down to the beach. You'll pass a mini golf on the way on the right. It's not that expensive and if you've had enough of the beach, it's a really fun way to spend an hour. When you get to the beach, you'll see the pier straight in front of you. It stretches out into the sea and is a nice walk out. It only costs a few dollars to walk on the pier, unless you want to go fishing, and then it costs a bit more. On the left of the pier, when you face the sea, there is, of course, the beach. You can lie down here and sunbathe. Swimming is very safe, but do check the large flags that the lifeguards put out. The lifeguards have their shed on the beach, here, just next to the pier. A green flag means that swimming is safe, and this is usually what you'll see. Every now and then, though, you'll see an orange flag. Then you shouldn't swim, usually because of a strong current. You'll see the flags at the back of the beach, just behind the lifeguard shed and the paved path, which I'll tell you about now. So, at the back of the beach, there is a large paved path. You can walk up and down this path at any time, as cars are not allowed here. Cyclists are allowed, but not between the hours of 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. A bit further down the beach, on the left as you walk down the path, you can rent a chair to sit on if you don't like lying on a towel, mat, or on the sand. Now, on the right of the pier as you face the sea is Moor Beach, where you can lie down and relax. At the back of the beach and over the path, just to the right of the pier, is a nice restaurant. It serves all sorts of things, from fish and chips to sandwiches and ice cream. They have a terrace on the roof where you can eat if the weather's nice, or you can go inside if you've had enough sun or if the weather's bad. Further down the beach on the right, you can rent a kayak. This is great fun, and you can take one out for 2 hours and get away from the crowds. It's essential if you rent a kayak that you know how to swim, and they will ask you that if you want to rent one. Also, they won't rent a kayak to anyone under the age of 16.
You now have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen to the rest of the information talk and answer questions 16 to 20.
After you've had your nice day at the beach, you will have the evening to enjoy. If you fancy watching some live entertainment, there are two places you can go. Firstly, there is the Playhouse Theatre, which this evening is presenting Murder in the Library. This is a crime play that is sure to be a lot of fun. This begins at 7:30 and ends at 10. Secondly, if you prefer some music, there is the Summer Showhouse, that tonight has a Battle of the Bands for young people. This starts a little earlier at 7 and goes on until 10:30. You'll be sure of getting a variety of different music from the young talent from the area. To find both of these places, go left out of the front of the hotel and walk down the road. You'll come to the Playhouse first. Then there's a garage, and the Summer Showhouse is just after that. If you still fancy some more time on or near the beach, there is a firework display being held at 10 o'clock at the end of the pier. You won't be allowed onto the pier at this time, so I think the best place to see it is on the beach with some friends. This can be very popular, so make sure you arrive in good time to get a good view. If there's no room, you can watch from the path or the areas behind the path. Some people have asked me about food, and there are plenty of restaurants and cafes all around the area near the hotel. A bonus for you is that there is a culinary festival this weekend. This takes place from around 6 in the town centre. There will be kiosks all around the square, serving food and drinks from a variety of different cultures. Some of these will be fairly familiar, such as Chinese, Indian, French, Italian and Thai, but others will be less common. Examples will be Scandinavian, West African, Polynesian and Siberian, amongst others. This will all go on until around 12. Now, if it's raining and there is a storm forecast, everything will still be going on, but don't forget an umbrella. However, if the rain puts you off, there's a cinema about 5 minutes walk away from the hotel. Just turn right when you leave the hotel. Another option is the comedy club, though this starts a little later and is a bit further away, needing a taxi rather than a walk or a bus to get there. Doors open at 9 and it goes on until midnight. It costs $10 to go in.
That is the end of section 2. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear a student being interviewed at a university. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
So thanks for coming in for this interview at our university, Richard.
Thanks for asking me, Dr. Langer.
So I can see from your application form that you took a year off.
Yes, that's right.
Can you tell me about it?
As you know, I did French and German at school, but I wanted to learn a language that was not from Europe before I started doing modern languages at university.
Where did you go?
I decided to go to Cairo to learn Arabic.
Did you have any basic Arabic before you went?
I studied it myself a little bit, but it wasn't much to prepare for being in Cairo.
Did you do a course?
Not straight away. I couldn't afford it. After getting somewhere to live, I got a job in a sports club. I'm a good tennis player, and I gave lessons at a local tennis club in the mornings and afternoons.
Did you need a work permit?
Theoretically, yes, but the tennis club wasn't worried about that. Later, when I saved some money, I took an Arabic course. My parents helped out with the costs of that as well.
Did you find Arabic difficult?
It depends. Initially it was hard, as it was so different, but I soon found out that the grammar was very straightforward. I found the pronunciation really difficult, and the reading also was really hard. I had to master the alphabet before I could start to make sense of it.
When did you start to become operational in Arabic?
In speaking, I could start having conversations after a couple of months. I had lots of opportunity at the tennis club to practice, but it was in the evenings when I would go to cafes and talk with people there that my spoken Arabic really took off. The locals were very friendly and delighted that I was trying to learn their language. Most people would chat to me.
And the reading and writing?
That took a lot longer and I'm still not great at it now. The good thing about the writing, though, is that all Arabic is the same when written, whereas the speaking versions can vary in dialects in all Arabic-speaking countries.
How did you like the food?
Cairo is a very cosmopolitan city, and you can get all sorts of food there. The basic fare is rice, breads, grilled meats and salads. They also have lots of great dips to eat with vegetables and bread. I loved it. You had to learn where to go, though, as the quality could be variable.
You now have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen to the rest of the interview and answer questions 26 to 30.
I'm glad you seem to enjoy your year in Cairo. So which two languages would you like to specialise in here?
That's a difficult question, as I'd like to continue with my French and German, but I don't want to abandon my Arabic. It would also be fun and useful to do another language from scratch. I'd be really keen to learn Chinese.
We don't offer that here, I'm afraid, though we do the others.
I think I'll go for the Arabic and my best European language. My German is a bit rusty, but I also practice my French in Egypt. I'll go for the French, I think.
That would be a good mixture.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Of course.
I'd like first to know how the course is taught. I guess the usual university lecture style isn't suited to languages.
No, although when you study literature in your chosen languages, there are lectures. The first year of the course focuses on your getting a good knowledge of the grammar and vocabulary of your languages. This is done in kind of school-type lessons. Through the year, the key areas of grammar are covered. For developing your vocabulary, students will be assigned various readings on particular topics. These then will be discussed in smaller seminars.
How many people are in a seminar?
Usually 6 to 10. These sessions are led by a native speaker of your languages, and the focus will be on developing fluency in speech and vocabulary.
That sounds good.
The second year continues with lessons to cover grammar, though usually more obscure or difficult points. The speaking seminars are replaced by seminars on literature and cultural topics. These seminars will be led by the same teachers as in the first year. There'll be lectures on literature as well.
And the third year?
You spend that in countries that speak the languages you're studying. You spend 5 months in each country.
What will I do in these countries?
You can either study or work. You have to study in a university that runs an approved program, or do a job that we agree to.
Can I get any help with these?
Yes. You can organise things yourself, but you have to make sure that the course you choose to study at the foreign university has to be an approved program. If you can't find anything, we have a list of suitable universities in various countries, and these universities are used to students coming from us. Jobs are probably harder to organise. You, of course, may have some friends overseas now who might be able to help. A lot of students have family who have business relationships in other countries, and that can be a good way to find a suitable temporary job. If you want a job and can't find one, we have some contacts that we can use to place you.
And year four is back at the university, I suppose.
That's right. The grammar classes will be over then, but you'll have seminars discussing language points that you or your teachers bring up. Then there'll be more lectures on literature in the languages that you'll be studying.
I expect year four will have the final exams. Is that right?
Oh yes. You will have a series of exams. There will be an oral exam, which will be conducted by a native speaker teacher. That will be in early May. Then at the start of June, the written exams will come. There will be 2 translation exams, a listening exam, and 2 exams on literature. The literature exams will depend on which topics you choose. Your final course grade will be based on these exams combined with various assignments set over the course and a third-year dissertation.